Welcome to Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is episode 161, Spotlight on Oni Press, Blue Monday, number one, from 2000. Alright, here we go! And a one! And a two! And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is an episode on a Spotlight of, yeah, that's really good. Spotlight on Oni Press, Blue Monday, number one, circa 2000.
Yeah.
I am Chris Mosby, at least I think so.
You still are Chris Mosby.
Oh, okay.
Still Gerard.
Yes.
And I am Murray Fox.
Ah, welcome back, Murray.
I'm back.
It feels like forever, man.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, totally. It's like, you know. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Blue Monday.
All righty, Blue Monday. One of my favorite series ever.
All right. Well, tell us all about it, sir.
I love it. It came out. I didn't ever pick up the issues individually. I only ever picked them up as, like, mini trades when I would go to cons and stuff. But I guess it came out early 2000s from Oni Press, and it's kind of slice of lifey. It's kind of like a John Hughes movie, but taken up a notch, sort of.
Okay, all right.
It's got the whole anime thing going on, where it's, you know, the high school, but not quite the high school, the over the top high school.
Yeah. Written and illustrated by China Clugston. At the time, she was China Clugston Major, but she's now
just China Clugston.
Well, I think she may have remarried, but at any point, China Clugston is the important part here. She is the driving creative force on the book. And we'll be looking at the first issue of the first miniseries, which is pretty typical of what the series is like. I found as I was rereading it, it's,
I believe the name is the kids are all right, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the name of the mini, and I think the name of the trade, the first trade too.
Yeah,
which is what I'm reading from, I think.
Yes,
the copies you're reading from, some of the pages might be out of order.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, all right then, we'll just let you run with it.
Yeah. Alrighty, so in this first issue, we are introduced to Blue Finnegan, who is a teenager new to this Los Angeles high school, Jefferson High, early 1990s. She's into all sorts of new wave music. Already I like her. And we get to meet her friends and just kind of follow them around. So it opens up in this high school dance, and all these guys are asking Blue to dance, and she's just turning them all down because they're all super lame. And then Damon and Graham from the band Blur come up, and they ask her to dance, and she, of course, is shocked but agrees. And then while she's dancing with Blur, Weller comes up and cuts in, and she's again shocked, but agrees to dance with Paul Weller. And then before she can get too far dancing with Paul Weller, Adam Ant, her ultimate musical crush, pops up and cuts in and starts dancing with her. And over the course of the four issues, you'll find that she loves Adam Ant. She will do anything to attend one of his concerts. And so while they're dancing, he tells her that he just has one question for her. And he asks, what was the single event that triggered World War I? And she, of course, then tells him, well, that was the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife in Sarajevo. Do I win any prizes for answering correctly? And he says, absolutely, and goes in for the kiss. And that's when her best friend Clover smacks her on the head and says, you gobshite, wake your wee head, reckon arse, oop. Because, of course, she's not at a dance. She's in the middle of her history class, and her teacher has just asked her a question, and she, of course, is now terribly embarrassed. Terribly, terribly embarrassed. So we've met Blue. We've met her best friend Clover, who I think is Irish, Irish background there. Blue is, of course, embarrassed. And we learn from their history teacher that she's going to be going on leave probably for about a week, and that there will be a substitute coming in, and the kids are all, a substitute, for a week. Ugh, I hate subs, it says Blue. And they're asking who it is, and the teacher says his name's Mr. Bishop. He's highly likable. And they are having none of it. They just say, this is going to suck. So then that kind of sets up an ongoing plot that carries throughout the rest of the series. We won't see much more of it in this particular issue, but it does carry on in later issues. So they're outside. They are now wandering the school ground, and Clover is asking Blue, I don't get why you're so boy crazy. Actually, maybe getting a boyfriend would cure you of it. You'll get sick of them real quick. They're nothing but dogs, I tell ya.
Dags. The dags, man. The dags.
We are.
Dags.
We are.
And Blue thinks, you know, she's had boyfriends before, nothing serious. She should just have a tribe of sex slaves instead. And if she just recruits someone Monday, that would be perfect. You know, she figures she has to lose her virginity sometime. And if she can just get all the dorks lined up from school, she can kind of pick out the best ones from the bunch. Will I jump adult, a geek, or a nerd? How much to choose? I'm so lucky. And, of course, while they're doing their little jibber-jabber, the cool guys walk by and give them the gears. And Clover gives as good as she gets. And they're about to go to class, but they're a little late, and they need to get their soda, of course, before they go to class. Because priorities. And as they're making their way to class, we meet the next two important characters. We meet Victor and Alan, two teenage boys. They are running down the stairs of the school, hands filled with mounds and mounds of cookies. And they stop by the girls, and the girls ask what they're running for. And the guys are like, we're running away from Mr. Blop. He almost caught us swiping cookies from the home ec class. I guess they're for some fundraiser. And Blue says, for the kids with Down syndrome. Yeah, anyway, the class was out in the kitchen, and these big-ass cookies were just sitting out in the classroom cooling off, and we just couldn't resist. You want some? So, of course, they take some of the cookies. They start eating them. The boys run off, and while the girls are eating them, Mr. Blop, Blop, Bloop, no Blop, Mr. Blop, up,
Mr.
grabs the Blop.
Wow.
Teachers have the best names in this book.
I can tell.
They are, of course, busted, and they get to spend time in detention. And instead of working on homework or being repentant for eating cookies for a fundraiser, they are instead planning how to get back at Victor and Alan.
And the other teacher's name is Labelfant?
Labelfant.
Labelfant. Okay, not like it.
Yes.
Yeah, this is very, very manga style for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's got a huge manga influence here. And I love it. Every so often, you'll get like little tiny crib notes in the borders. She doesn't do it a ton in this first issue, but she'll give you the like the music that you should be listening to while you're reading it. Or the music that the kids are listening to. She'll have little cartoons pop up, like the editor will be. Pretty sure in this issue we'll see one where the editor kind of pops up and is like, China, you owe me pages, snap, snap, let's go. However, we haven't got there yet. Mm-hmm. It's fun. So they decide to get back at the boys. They're going to go pick up their friend Aaron. They're going to go to do a supermarket run for supplies, and then they are going to get their revenge. And Aaron, of course, pretends that she's not really into this thing, but she totally is. She's like one of those sneaky ladies that looks all sweet and innocent, but she's got no heart. She's all cruel. So of course they all three go. They go, they get their soda, their eggs, their whipped cream, their Vaseline, their shaving cream, their condoms, everything you need for a good evening of revenge.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they grab all their stuff. They take it over to Aaron's home to get ready. They're going through the clothes that they need to wear. They decide they want black clothes because, you know, nighttime.
Of course.
And while they're getting ready, that's right, they're getting into their black ninja outfits. An announcement comes on the radio, because in the 90s we still listen to the radio. Maybe people still do. I don't listen to the radio.
I listen to it in the car if I'm forced to.
Well, at this point, in the 90s, the radio was still a big thing. And so the announcer says, and that was such and such by so and so, and there's a special announcement. As you might know, Adam Ant is making a tour Division II Fresburger next week. Okay, so they're in the town of Fresburger, which is probably close to Los Angeles.
Yeah, Fresburger. China was born in Fresno, California. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
She's protecting herself.
Did you see that T-shirt that Blue is wearing?
Yeah, Tank Girl.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I missed that.
Yes, so they're running this concert. They're having a super vinyl weekend with a contest starting tomorrow, lasting through next Thursday, the day before the old New Waivers concert at the Wilson. Stay tuned, because Adamant sold out earlier today, and KFAB is the only place to get tickets. So Blue is freaking out. She's like, Adam! Oh, my God, I have to win this contest! So that again sets up another couple issues worth of. But for now, they're going to go out and they're going to cause trouble. They've got their beautiful black skin tight outfits on, except for the socks, because Aaron doesn't have black socks. She just has funky colored socks. So they're as long as no one looks at their ankles, they will blend into the night. So they get to Alan's home, and they know that Alan's parents are gone out for the evening. The lights are off in his room, so they know the guys are out doing their regular Friday night thing, which is Peeping Tom stuff.
Peeping Tom foolery,
that's right. So the girls get their stuff. They start Vaselining the windows and doorknobs. They do tampons dipped in cherry Kool-Aid and get tossed to the door. Ugh. Eggs on the house, they're doing whipped cream and condoms flung around the yard, they're throwing the toilet paper around. They are like going to town.
Boy,
you do not mess with these ladies.
Apparently not.
And then they go back to Blue's house and watch movies until 5 a.m.
Wow, that is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Goodness. However, the next morning, Blue's father... with the best mustache ever. To have a mustache.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting.
This is the mustache to have, because it's like one of those V for Vendetta mustaches. Anyway, he wakes her up. He tells them they're all going over to the Walsh's house. And the girls are like, what? Why are we going there? And he says, well, some juvenile delinquents messed up their house last night. Prankster stuff. And I guess your friends, Alan and Victor, didn't know who did it, so I volunteered you kids to go and help out since you're all so close and friendly. And the girls are like, damn it, that backfired. There we go. There's definitely one of those little pictures. There's the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my page, China?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's funny.
So off they go. They start cleaning up slowly. The boys don't even talk to them. They're all grumpy about it. The girls are singing Soft Cell, Tainted Love. Sometimes I feel I've got to run away.
Oh, that's a good song.
Got you.
That's the song.
That's funny. It's set in the 90s, but that's like a totally an 80s song.
Yeah, these kids enjoy music not of their time. Well, they do kind of their time, but they also like... they like good music.
It is a good one.
The 80s.
Yes. Blue finds one of the used condoms and she's picking it up with sticks, even though she knows it's just like whipped cream and stuff. And she tells the girls to go bring her a trash bag, and she like drops it onto her foot. She's like, "Oh, he's just so nasty looking." Even though it's whipped cream, it's still gross.
Oh, Lord.
And then Erin takes a really close look at it, and she's like, "That's not one of ours. That one's yellow. We bought the clear looking ones. Mid-plate, remember?"
That's funny. That's awesome.
It's a real used condom, and she just freaks out and does a little manga dance, which is funny.
Yeah, those are awesome.
I noticed the boys didn't do any cleaning.
They did a little.
They kind of do the very smallest amount. And you can tell they're totally smirking when the girls are doing the condom thing, so we know where it came from.
Blech. Yeah.
So they get the place all cleaned up, and the girls are like, "Where did Alan and Victor go? They knew it was us, didn't they? Or at least they accused us right off the bat." And Blue says, "They went in the house, I think. They had to have known. That renegade, condom was hint enough. And they did speak a word to us the whole time." And Erin says, "I don't know. They could have just been mad that someone else did this, and they still had to clean it up. Kind of could have been an accident. I mean, they didn't do anything to us, really." And Blue's like, "Whatever. I'm famished. Do you guys want to go to Lucky Burger?" And they all are like, "Yeah." So they all go off to Lucky Burger, and
I read ahead by accident. Oh, man.
This is the best.
This is not cool. All right. I'll be quiet now.
Alan and Victor get an idea. So they go racing over to Lucky Burger, and they meet one of their other friends, who is named, is not named. He pops up in other issues, so if he's not named in this issue, it's later on. Monkey Boy, maybe?
Yeah, that's what it says, Monkey Boy.
Yeah, Monkey Boy is working today. So he's working at Lucky Burger, and they explain their plan to him, and he's like, "I don't know, dude, I could get fired." He's like, "Come on, man, where's your manager? Does he have a break soon?" And he, Monkey Boy, realizes he has to go make a deposit at the bank, so he will call the guys in a few minutes, and the girls are ordering their burgers.
Oh, man, this is bad.
Then he calls the guys in. He says it's all clear. He shows them their burgers. He's like, "Are you going to spit in them?" Not quite. So they reach into their pants, rip out some pubic hair,
God,
sprinkle it into the burgers.
Man. That is so wrong.
Monkey Boy thinks it looks like fun, so he gets in on the action and does the last burger. And then the girls get their burgers. And Clover's like, "It's about time." And they're mowing down on them, or at least a couple of bites. And then Blue is like, "Bah, pew burger," and throws it away. And
yeah. That part's not in there.
Could be on another page.
That's fine.
You get the point. And Erin is like, "Well, it's not so bad. Tasted kind of spicy, I thought." The guys are just laughing at them through the windows and giving them the finger. And Erin goes, or not Erin, Clover goes all Irish on them and basically says they're dead in Celtic.
Okay.
If I could read it, I totally would, but that is not a language I can read.
Oh, my. Oh, here he is. Yeah, this is way out of order. I finally found it.
Yeah. So they see the guys walk off, and they're like, "Oh, they're out to go peeping again, no doubt. I wish we could see their faces when they come back." Because they've, of course, have come up with another plan. So they go over to Alan's home, and his mom is like, "I'm sorry, he and Victor just left." And Blue says, "Oh, that's too bad. We're going to pick up some reference material for a project we're working on." "Well, if you want to search for it, it's in that disaster area. You're welcome to go grab it, since he won't be home for quite some time." So they go up to Alan's room, and
There we go. I found it.
Maybe a typical teenage boy's room filled with pinup models and porn mags by the bed and
I usually had mine under the bed, not right there, but hey, you know, whatever.
Well, you know. So they gather up all of his beautiful ladies, and they replace it with some beautiful boy porn. So they grab their stuff, they tell Mrs. Walsh they're on their way, have a nice evening, and when the boys come back, they're like, they realize what's happened here. They're seeing, like, the underwear boys, and they're seeing magazines that are not what they wanted. Yes, Victor says, your walls had a change of heart while we were gone. And Alan's like, my porn, where's all my porn? They took it, my favorite issue of Cherry.
Oh, wow.
But of course, they've got a plan now, too. So they go over to Blue's home. Blue is, of course, out. And when she gets back to Blue, or when she gets back to her home, Blue is like, that was the best idea. Alan will shit himself without his porn. Is it even safe to be, is it safe at your house, Aaron? And she's like, yep, put it up in the attic because we know they're going to come looking at all our houses. And Blue's like, that's good thinking. And then she hears on the radio one of Adamant's songs. And she grabs the phone and she starts dialing because she has to be lucky number 9. And she's number 8.
What do you do?
Something in suits. She's only number 8, so she hangs up and she notices a note by the phone, a ransom note. And if my eyes were better and this panel were bigger.
I've got a magnifying glass thing set up on my cursor. See, it says, two chicks, we got your little dolls, your little doll with quotes, Aussie and Clover's copy of some kind of.
Wonderful.
Some kind of wonderful.
Oh, movie. Yeah. And then I really can't read the rest. Something about.
Oh, it was about.
Return our possessions, maybe.
And yeah.
Yes, or they
basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a ransom note. So they go midnight. Midnight that night, they go by the tree that they're supposed to go, and they find her little Aki stuffed animal tied up in a noose, and there's candles all around, and there's skulls on the ground,
awesome.
And matches in her video cassette of some kind of wonderful. And they've got spooky music playing, and the boys are like, I believe you owe us something. So Clover hoists the big huge box of porn above her head, and she's like, fork over the Aki and the movie or your shit will burn. And
she's
holds up
a copy of Cherry Pop Tart.
Yep. That's right, this will be the first to go. And she's got the lighter ready. And Alan's like, how'd you know that was my fave? Victor says, maybe because it was in a Mylar cover hanging above your bed.
That's funny.
Okay, he says, don't do anything rash. Here, now give us our stuff. So he gives the doll and the tape over. These guys are dumb. Like, dumb.
Yeah, they are.
They hand over the stuff while the girls still have their magazines. And Clover says, later, losers, and dumps a match onto the porn. And it looks like maybe some gasoline or something, some sort of accelerant. Anyway, the porn goes up in flames. Ah, they're freaking out. They're patting it down. They grab what little they can save and realize that, what? It's Better Homes and Gardens.
Whole box Post full
strumpets, a whole box of them. So eventually, you know, this is kind of the way the series goes, back and forth and back and forth between the guys and the girls. The first issue finishes off with another phone call, and Blue phones in, but she is caller number 5 instead of 9. So that is kind of where it all ends.
God of the end, hear my prayer. I need those tickets. I worship thee. Come on, man.
That's funny.
Yes.
Come on, man.
That was pretty good. Yes. I actually like that.
I love it. It's a great series.
And they're all in trade, right?
They are all intrigued. Well, yes. Yes, she started a fifth series. So she's got, there are four trades collecting the three miniseries and then a collection of like one-shots and stuff. And she had started another miniseries, but it only got as far as the first issue before she got not distracted. I think she was, I mean, the life of an independent artist is you go where the money goes. So she did some editing work for DC and she did some other work for other folks. And I think eventually she's going to come around back to this. Last I heard, she'd finished all the writing on the last miniseries and she was working away on the artwork. So I keep hoping that eventually I'll get to see another Blue Monday miniseries because I would love it. And I'm sure I will eventually, but
first one's
at this point, there's just the four trades, and they are awesome.
Yeah, you can buy them right on Press's site, looks like.
You totally can. You totally can.
She did some issues of Legion of the Superheroes in the 31st Century.
Really? Yeah, I think she did like the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple after that.
You can get the paperback for the first volume for a mere $10.01 on Amazon right now. Yep. Or you can get a used copy for $4.75.
Ooh, do that. Do either one. Buy them all.
Or buy directly from the publisher to get the money.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
The publisher, because then the money will go to China and she will...
Yeah, because it's only a couple bucks more to do it that way, so you might as well.
Yeah, cool. Support small press. Support the artist.
Woohoo! Not bad. That was interesting.
Oh, I love it. I love that series.
It's it does have a John Hughes feel. Definitely.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As the series goes on, you get little romantic entanglements going on, and you get other elements popping in there, and it's good. It's a good little teenage fun.
The adults on the periphery, they don't really play into at least this part of the story. Like in a John Hughes movie, it's always about the kids.
Yeah, the only adult who will play a role is the substitute teacher that Blue develops an instant crush on.
Yeah, that's what I was just reading the description for the first volume there.
I'll have to read ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she was married to Guy Major. Okay, there you go. That's where the Major came from.
Yeah, the colorist.
Oh, really? Guy Major? Yep. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
The comic world is a small world.
Thank you for introducing me to the plumery.
Yeah, this is so interesting.
Good. I love it.
I would never in a million years have picked this up.
No, I wouldn't either. I'm actually intrigued as well.
Don't know if I would share it with my daughter just yet.
Probably not.
No, I don't think she's ready for pube burgers.
No.
Oh, wow, that was something.
Yes. Alrighty, that's it.
Alright, wow.
Even for me.
Okay. Well, that's it. Yeah, that was a good one. Good pick. Nice, light and fluffy, I guess you could say, in a nice way. So, anything else?
Nope, that's it, man.
Dude, I need a nap. Okay, well, on that note, we'll wrap this up. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. And you can also join us on our Facebook page and join the conversation. Just do a little search for Tales from the Long Box podcast and be right there. Or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And on that note, that is it for this week. We are out.